In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's epistle reading, St. Paul tells us something wondrous. He says, "We are the temple of the living God." Now, it's hard for us in 21st century America to understand what that meant to people at Paul's time who heard that. We are the temple of the living God. Because in the ancient world, a temple was the dwelling place of the God, at least symbolically, a dwelling place, and a place where the God's presence was revealed and known. And this was even more, an even more powerful symbol in Israel, because there was only one temple. God commanded that there only be one house for His name, and that His name would dwell there. His presence would be there, so that when the people of Israel came and spoke their prayers to Him, He would hear. Even if they weren't present in the temple, if they speak their prayers from a distance but facing the temple, He will hear. And for those who do enter the temple, and even more so for the priests who enter into the building itself, into the house of God itself, His presence is known in glory and in power. But St. Paul says, now it's no longer a building that is the temple of God, but the body of believers. All of us together are the temple of God, where God dwells, where His presence is known, where His glory and His name are manifest. Later on in today's epistle, he says something even more wondrous, which perhaps we take for granted because we hear it as Christians growing up in the church from our childhood. But this is a promise that he quotes from Old Testament prophecy. He says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." See, the Israelites were God's servants. They were His people. And as time progressed, the prophets, as we heard St. Paul quote, promised that the day would come when they could become God's sons and daughters, to share in His life and in His love in that most intimate way, that He would grant them the inheritance of His glory, of partaking in His glory and in His divine nature. So these are the promises hinted at in the Old Testament and fulfilled today in the church. But there's something that comes in between that we must not overlook. St. Paul says in today's epistle, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit." And before that, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them and touch nothing unclean, and then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." This cleansing, this purification, this separation is essential for us to experience all of those wonders of God's presence that He has promised us. What does it mean, come out from them? Well, symbolically in the Old Testament, God commanded the people of Israel to be a unique people, to be a people dedicated to his name, not to adopt the ways of the other nations around them, but to preserve in purity the law that he had given them. And the history of the Old Testament is how they failed this over and over again. But this is the commandment that he has given us as well. And now he's given us the power to fulfill it. And he's explained to us what this means. It doesn't mean physical separation, or at least not usually, it doesn't mean physical separation from this world. Christ left us in this world. He left us in the midst of people who don't believe in him, of people who follow a different law from the law of Christ. And he doesn't call us to, you know, withdraw and form some isolated commune where we only interact with people that we know, because he's called all of those people to faith in Christ as well. And perhaps by our dwelling amongst them, by them seeing the gospel and hearing it from our unworthy lips, they will one day come to belief in faith and obedience. But what does this mean then for us? Come out from them and be separate from them. It means that we must, if not physically, then morally and spiritually, separate ourselves from the sinful, non-Christian culture that persists in this world. From those values which oppose Christ, if not openly, then subtly, by urging us to adopt other gods, the gods of pleasure, of money, of fame, of power. Now, these are the things that the world teaches us to value. And its ways promote those values and fulfill those values. But if we want to truly be the dwelling place of God and to be the intimate recipients of his love as children, as sons and daughters, then we must separate ourselves from the ways of the world. He says, touch nothing unclean. And I think this is a helpful metaphor for us. In the old law, there were rules against touching certain things which were defiling. But we don't believe that physical things are defiling. Those were symbols that were given to them. And now the truth has been revealed to us. What does it mean, touch nothing unclean? Means that even as we are in the midst of people who, in the midst of values and of a culture that opposes Christ, that we guard our senses against all of these things. Not just our sense of touch, but of our eyes and our ears. To guard ourselves against those messages in the media, on the internet, which would draw us into sin, whether they be temptations to anger, which we often see today in social media, temptations to judge other people, temptations to gossip, or temptations to lust, which is a prevalent temptation for us in this world. But we have to guard our senses, brothers and sisters, so that we don't become defiled and polluted by those things spiritually, and so separate ourselves from God and the blessings that he's promised us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we might experience to the full these blessings that God has promised us, that we may have him within our hearts, and his love and his glory, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, and make holiness perfect in the fear of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.